This article will be studied during the week of August 22nd through 28th. Do not let the faults of others stumble you. Theme text. Continue forgiving one another freely. Colossians 3:13. Songs 121 and 75. How would you answer? Why is God's organization special? How does the Bible show that we are all imperfect? What can we do about our own faults and those of others? Paragraphs 1 and 2, question. How did the Bible foretell the increase of Jehovah's people? Jehovah's faithful servants on earth, his witnesses, make up an organization that is indeed exceptional. True, it is composed of humans who are imperfect and who have their faults. Still, God's Holy Spirit has been moving His global congregation to grow and prosper. Consider a few of the wonderful things that Jehovah has been doing with His willing, although imperfect, people. When the last days of the present system began back in 1914, God's servants on earth were relatively few in number, but Jehovah blessed their preaching work. During the following decades, millions of new ones learned Bible truths and became Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah actually pointed forward to this outstanding growth, saying, "The little one will become a thousand, and the small one a mighty nation. I myself, Jehovah, will speed it up in its own time." Isaiah 60:22. That prophetic statement has certainly come true in these last days. Thus, the number of God's people on earth is now greater than the entire population of many nations. Paragraph 3, question. How have God's servants shown love? During this time, Jehovah has also helped His people to cultivate to a greater degree His dominant quality, love. Jesus, who imitated God's love, said to His followers, "I am giving you a new commandment, that you love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love among yourselves." John 13:34 and 35. This proved especially important in recent history when the nations engaged in deadly wars on a shocking scale. For instance, some 55 million people were killed in World War II alone. However, Jehovah's Witnesses did not participate in that global slaughter. Micah 4:1 reads, "In the final part of the days, the mountain of the house of Jehovah will become firmly established above the top of the mountains, and it will be raised up above the hills, and to it peoples will stream." Verse 3 reads, "He will render judgment among many peoples and set matters straight respecting mighty nations far away. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning shears. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, nor will they learn war any more." This has helped them to remain clean from the blood of all men. Acts 20:26. Paragraph 4, question. Why is the increase of Jehovah's people noteworthy? The progress of God's people is taking place in a very hostile world, which the Bible says is controlled by Satan, the god of this system of things. 2 Corinthians 4:4. He manipulates the political elements of this world, as he does the world's mass media. But he cannot stop the preaching of the good news. However, knowing that he has only a short time left, Satan tries to turn people away from true worship, and he uses various means to do so. A test of loyalty. Paragraph 5, question. Why may others at times hurt our feelings? The Christian congregation emphasizes the importance of having love for God and for fellow humans. Jesus indicated that this would be the case. Responding to a question about the greatest commandment, he said, "You must love Jehovah your God with your whole heart and with your whole soul and with your whole mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. The second, like it, is this: you must love your neighbor as yourself." Matthew 22:35 through 39. Nevertheless, the Bible makes clear that as a result of Adam's sin, we are all born imperfect. Romans 5:12 reads, "That is why, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because they had all sinned." Verse 19 reads, "For just as through the disobedience of the one man many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one person many will be made righteous." So at times, some in the congregation may hurt us by what they say or do. This can test our love for Jehovah and for His people. What will we do on such occasions? Even faithful servants of God in the past said or did things that hurt others, and we can learn from what the Bible reveals about this. Paragraph 6, question. In what sense did Eli fail to discipline his sons? For example, High Priest Eli had two sons who did not uphold Jehovah's laws. We read, "The sons of Eli were wicked men. They had no regard for Jehovah." 1 Samuel 2:12. Though their father played a key role in promoting true worship, his two sons committed very serious sins. Eli knew about this and should have disciplined them, but he was lax in that regard. As a result, God adversely judged the household of Eli. In time, his descendants would not be allowed to serve as high priests. Had you lived in Eli's day, how would you have reacted to Eli's toleration of the sins committed by his sons? Would you have let it stumble you to the point that you would no longer serve God? Paragraph 7, question. How did David sin seriously, and what did God do about it? David was loved by Jehovah, who found him to be a man agreeable to his heart. 1 Samuel 13:13-14. But David later committed adultery with Bathsheba, and she became pregnant. That occurred while her husband, Uriah, was away serving in the army. When he came home temporarily, David tried to get him to have sexual relations with Bathsheba, so that it might appear that Uriah was the child's father. Uriah would not do what the king suggested, so David arranged to have him killed in battle. David paid dearly for his crime. Calamities came upon him and his household. Yet God showed mercy to this man who overall walked before Jehovah with integrity of heart. 1 Kings 9:4. If you had lived among God's people back then, how would you have reacted? Would David's wrong conduct have stumbled you? Paragraph 8, question A. How did the Apostle Peter fail to keep his word? Question B. After Peter's mistake, why did Jehovah continue to use Peter? Another Bible example is that of the Apostle Peter. Jesus had selected him as one of the apostles. Still, Peter at times said or did things that he later regretted. For example, at a critical moment, the apostles abandoned Jesus. Peter had earlier stated that even if the others did that, he would not. Nevertheless, when Jesus was being taken into custody, all the apostles, including Peter, abandoned him. Peter repeatedly denied even knowing Jesus. However, Peter showed remorse, and Jehovah continued to use him. Had you been a disciple then, would Peter's actions have affected your loyalty to Jehovah? Paragraph 9, question. Why do you trust that God is always just? These are but a few examples of individuals who did things that hurt others. Many other cases in past centuries and in recent times could be cited in which some who served Jehovah committed bad acts and hurt others. The point is, how will you respond? Will you let their mistakes stumble you so that you abandon Jehovah and His people, including those in the local congregation? Or will you recognize that Jehovah may allow time for repentance on the part of wrongdoers, and that He will ultimately correct the wrongs and act in a just way? On the other hand, sometimes those who have been guilty of serious sins reject Jehovah's mercy and are unrepentant. In such situations, Will you have confidence that Jehovah will in time judge such wrongdoers, perhaps removing them from the congregation? Maintain loyalty. Paragraph 10, question. What did Jesus understand about the faults of Judas Iscariot and Peter? The Bible provides us with accounts of servants of God who remained loyal to Jehovah and his people despite the serious faults of others around them. For example, after spending a night in prayer to his Father, Jesus selected the 12 apostles. Judas Iscariot was one of those. When Judas later betrayed him, Christ did not let that defection mar his own relationship with his Father Jehovah, nor did Jesus allow Peter's denial to do that. Jesus knew that those actions were not the fault of Jehovah or his people in general. Jesus continued his wonderful work despite the disappointment that some of his followers caused him. Jehovah rewarded him by resurrecting him from the dead, thus opening the way for Jesus to become King of the heavenly kingdom. Paragraph 11, question. The Bible foretold what about Jehovah's servants in this time? Jesus' confidence in Jehovah and his people was well-founded and still is. Indeed, when we consider the things that Jehovah is accomplishing through his servants in these last days, it is simply amazing. No other people are preaching the truth globally, for others do not have Jehovah guiding them as does his united congregation today. Isaiah 65:14 describes the spiritual condition prevailing among God's people. Look, my servants will shout joyfully because of the good condition of the heart. Paragraph 12, question. How should we view the faults of others? Jehovah's servants rejoice at the good things they can do because they are being guided by Jehovah. In contrast, the world under Satan's influence mourns, as it were, as conditions worsen. It would certainly be unwise and misguided to blame Jehovah or his congregation for the faults of relatively few of God's servants. We need to maintain our loyalty to Jehovah and his arrangements and to learn how to view or react to the faults of others. Handling faults. Paragraphs 13 and 14, question A. Why should we be patient with one another? Question B. What promise do we want to remember? How then can we handle occasions when one of God's servants says or does something that hurts our feelings? A fine Bible principle is this: do not be quick to take offense, for the taking of offense lodges in the bosom of fools. Ecclesiastes 7:9. We must consider that all of us are some 6,000 years removed from the human perfection that existed in Eden. Imperfect people are prone to make mistakes. Therefore, it would not be good to expect too much of fellow believers and to let their faults rob us of the joy that comes from being part of God's people in these last days. An even greater mistake would be to allow the faults of others to stumble us and cause us to leave Jehovah's organization. Were that to happen, we would lose not only the privilege of doing God's will, but also the hope of life in God's new world. To maintain our deep joy and firm hope, we want to keep clearly in mind the comforting promise of Jehovah. Look, I am creating new heavens and a new earth, and the former things will not be called to mind, nor will they come up into the heart. Isaiah 65:17. Do not let the faults of others prevent you from obtaining such blessings. Paragraph 15, question. What did Jesus say we should do when others make mistakes? However, since we are not yet in the new world, we should consider God's thoughts on how to handle matters when others say or do things that hurt our feelings. For example, one principle to remember is what Jesus said. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Whereas if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Recall, too, that when Peter asked whether we should forgive up to 7 times, Jesus replied, I say to you, not up to 7 times, but up to 77 times. Matthew 6, 14 and 15, and 18, 21 and 22. Clearly, Jesus meant that we should always be willing to forgive. This should be our first and predominant leaning. Paragraph 16, question. What good example did Joseph set? A good example of how to handle faults was set by Joseph, the first of Jacob's two sons by Rachel. Joseph's 10 half-brothers were jealous of him because he was favored by their father. Then they sold Joseph into slavery. After many years, the good work that Joseph had done in Egypt resulted in his becoming second to the ruler of that country. When a famine struck the region, Joseph's brothers came to Egypt to buy food, but did not recognize him. Joseph could have used his authority to exact vengeance for the very bad way that his brothers had treated him. Instead, he tested his brothers to find out if they had changed their disposition. When he saw that his brothers had truly changed, Joseph identified himself to them. He later said, "Do not be afraid. I will keep supplying you and your little children with food." The Bible account adds, "Thus he comforted them and spoke reassuringly to them." Genesis 50:21. Paragraph 17, question. What do you want to do when others make mistakes? It is also wise to remember that since we all have faults, we may be offending others. If we discern that we have done so, the Bible's direction is to go to the one whom we have offended and try to reconcile matters. Matthew 5, 23 and 24 reads, "If then you are bringing your gift to the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar and go away. First make your peace with your brother, and then come back and offer your gift." We appreciate it when others do not hold our faults against us, so we should act the same way toward them. Colossians 3:13 urges us, "Continue putting up with one another and forgiving one another freely, even if anyone has a cause for complaint against another. Just as Jehovah freely forgave you, you must also do the same." Christian love does not keep account of the injury, observes 1 Corinthians 13:5. If we practice forgiving others, Jehovah will forgive us. Psalm 103, 12 through 14 reads, "As far off as the sunrise is from the sunset, so far off from us he has put our transgressions. As a father shows mercy to his sons, Jehovah has shown mercy to those who fear him. For he well knows how we are formed, remembering that we are dust." Yes, when it comes to handling the faults of others, the Christian course is to imitate our merciful Father's dealings with us when we make mistakes. How would you answer? Why is God's organization special? How does the Bible show that we are all imperfect? What can we do about our own faults and those of others? End of article.